It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play, everyone. Larisha Harris here. Alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. Another great episode for you guys. A lot to talk about, especially after seeing so many games last weekend. But first, we're going to get things rolling with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
Starting lineup. We're going to look at some great games from last weekend, Larisha. Matter of fact, one game that had to wait an extra day. But the result is that there are no more undefeated teams among HBCU football teams for this season.
Not at all. So Hurricane Michael made its way through South Georgia, forcing Albany State to go down to Savannah and actually have practice ahead of their game against Morehouse, the Maroon Tigers.
Maroon Tigers came into the game undefeated and had to wait an extra day because so much power was out in that section of Georgia in the southwest part of the state where Albany is. Trees were down, power lines were down. Students had to leave and go campus in Savannah to resume some of their classes until they were able to come back to campus at Albany State. So the team had to wait an extra day. They played the game on Sunday afternoon instead of Saturday, and the Rams come to town, and they do the deed. 41-19 final score. Albany State hands Morehouse their first setback of the season.
So now Morehouse has fallen to 6-1 overall, 2-1 in the SIAC, while the Golden Rams improved to 4-3 and 3-0 in conference play.
Yeah, after getting off to a sluggish start, all of a sudden the Rams have things rolling. Remember, media days, they were predicted to win their division and meet Tuskegee in the championship game. And now they're playing more and more like that team. But how about what happened up in Greensboro, North Carolina? How about those Florida A&M Rattlers?
Crazy, right?
Go there and get the 22-21 win over North Carolina A&T. That's two home in-conference losses for a North Carolina A&T team that started the season with wins over Jacksonville State and East Carolina. Go figure.
Not good for them, but who it does benefit, though, is the Rattlers. They are now becoming a team who is proving to be dominant in the MEAC. So they went up there, won that game with a final second field goal, and I'm looking forward to our conversation coming up shortly because we will be joined by the head coach of the Florida A&M Rattlers, and we're going to talk about everything they have going on down there in Tallahassee.
Coach Willie Simmons, what a first season and a first impression he's making on all the Rattler faithful down in Tallahassee. They are happy to have him in town.
I bet they are.
That wasn't the only surprise that took place Saturday, Larisha. How about this out of the SWAC? Southern 38, Prairie View nothing. Where did that come from?
I was really expecting Prairie View to win this game because, well, first off, you just wouldn't expect Prairie View to not score.
I know.
They were completely shut out. I wasn't seeing that from Eric Dooley and the squad over there. So I don't know what happened or what's going on, but I want Prairie View to put some points on the board.
Yeah, we got to tip our cap to the Jaguars of Southern. They got it done, pitched the shutout. And now there's a three-way tie in the SWAC West at 2-1 in conference play.
That's right. You got Southern, Grambling, and Prairie View. Prairie View right there. They have one more loss than the other two teams.
Overall.
So we'll see how that tie is broken up as we continue the season, and we'll also have the rest of the standings, the rankings for you guys for the various conferences coming up later in the show.
All right, to the CIAA and a big showdown, Bowie State over Virginia State, 20-15, final score in this one. And it's a big game because Bowie State has Virginia Union coming up next. Union was a winner over Shawan, 48-38. Virginia Union is looking awfully strong right now.
Yeah, they are, but remember, we talked to Amir Hall, and he told us that Virginia Union was one of the places that he hates to play.
Hates to play, and that's what he has to do this coming week. We'll be keeping an eye on that game. Don't want to forget about the Langston Lions. They got a big win this week, 38-17 over Arizona Christian, and they're on the rise in the NAIA poll this week, Larisha.
Yes, so now their football team has moved up to number 13, that spot, in the sixth edition of the 2018 NAIA Football Coaches Top 25 poll. So congratulations to them. They earned a 13th slot after tallying so many votes. Moving on to some more exciting news. It's been officially confirmed that the MEAC commissioner, Dennis Thomas, is getting a contract extension.
Yes, yes. Congratulations to Dr. Dennis Thomas, the commissioner of the conference. He's been there in that capacity for the last 16 years. He has a new contract that has been extended through the year 2024, September of 2024. So he's going to get to stay on the job a while longer. Of course, he's been involved in athletics in so many ways as a head football coach. I go back with him to his days as the head football coach at South Carolina State. So from the sidelines to the administrator to administration to the head table when it comes to the conference, Dennis Thomas is there to continue serving the MEAC.
And we still have to get him on the show. So, Dr. Thomas, if you're listening, go ahead and give us a call.
Yeah, we're going to get him on the show, let him talk about his new contract and all the things that he's doing for the MEAC. In the SWAC, you can take away the interim tag for someone.
We are talking about Jennifer Williams, no longer the interim. She is now officially the director of athletics at Alabama State.
She's been serving in the capacity and has done a great job in that she now has the job full time. Say she's given the keys to the car to get things done for the Hornets down in Montgomery, Alabama. And they're doing a lot of things. Things have been really progressive at Alabama State. She took over the helm in October 2017 and helped celebrate the fifth consecutive SWAC Commissioner's Cup Award for the athletic department. So a lot is going on positive there. Great facilities they have there, and she's going to continue to move them in a progressive manner.
Congratulations, Jennifer Williams. Congratulations on becoming the director of athletics. Some more exciting news here, and this one involves Central State University and Irvin Magic Johnson.
What? What's he doing in Ohio?
Well, he has announced a donation of $1 million to the university. He's giving $1 million to support Central State University to help them improve their educational opportunities for a lot of the youth who attend that institution.
It's amazing what he's done, but he does a good bill of that. A good deal of that. Philanthropy is big with Magic Johnson, and he really goes as hard on that as he used to go on the basketball court. We all know what successful business person that he is, and the fact that he was doing that. He was speaking at the Central State Hall of Fame luncheon and talked about the importance of giving back, and that is what he's doing for the school. So I know all the people up there in Wilberforce, Ohio, are extremely happy to have the support of Irvin Magic Johnson with a big donation,
$1 million. But, you know, it doesn't just stop there. He has a history of supporting and promoting Central State University. We know back in 2008, he served as a guest speaker on their leadership speaker series. And then in 2015, he was present for the university's grand opening of the new university center. So he's been involved with that institution quite a lot. And I'm sure everybody up there, like you said, truly thankful for this big donation from Magic Johnson.
That is big. That is big news for Central State and big news out of the SIAC this week. All right, we mentioned earlier we're going to hear from somebody very special. How about Coach Willie Simmons? He's the head coach of Florida A&M, his first year in Tallahassee. And they got some big things going on down there. Not just the win over North Carolina A&T either, LaRisha. We're going to hear from him next. And straight from the source, I'm Sam with LaRisha on HBCU Play.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's LaRisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with LaRisha Harrison. We are pleased to be joined for this segment we like to call Straight from the Source with the head football coach of the Florida A&M Rattlers in his first season there, Willie Simmons. Coach, thanks so much for joining us for HBCU Play.
Oh, pleasure to be on.
So, Coach, you're in your first season there with the Rattlers. Just talk about how it's been and how you've adjusted to it. I mean, I know you're from the area, but it's still a big transition.
Well, yeah, there's always a transition whenever you, take over a program. Fortunately for me, as you alluded to, I'm from this area, And so the logistical things about finding a house and finding a school for the kids, all those were pretty easy. We already owned the house here. So we moved back into our original house. We already knew what school our kids would be attending. So that made things a lot easier. So the real adjustment was, one, just getting back acclimated with being in this area. When I left from high school in 1999 to attend Clemson, it was really the last time I lived here for an extended period of time. So just getting my bearings back. Tallahassee has changed a lot over the last 20 years. But again, it's been a great, great experience. Really enjoyed being back, being able to spend time with my family, my grandmother. We still do, you know, Sunday dinners at her house after church. And so that was one of the things I look forward to, aside from being able to coach at, you know, one of the most storied programs in the history of college football. To just be able to be back home around my family was an opportunity too good to pass up.
Yeah. Sunday's dinner, always the best, huh?
Especially from grandma's spot.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Coach, you are, of course, coming off a very successful tenure at Prairie View in the SWAC, and I just wanted to ask you, what is seems to be the greatest challenge for you, restoring a tradition or changing a culture? I mean, you've had a chance to do one at the one place, and it seems like you're in the process of doing the other here at Florida A&M. Do you take the same approach?
Well, I think those two things are actually one and the same. You know, when you have a place that has tradition, such as a FAMU, I think it's about restoring the culture. Because obviously when you lose that tradition, such as, you know, FAMU has here over the last 7 years or so, it's because the culture has changed. I think back, and I use the analogy all the time, or not analogy necessarily, but, you know, I use examples when I go speak to the different alumni groups who may be all asking, well, why is FAMU falling on tough times? Why can't we win the way that we have in the past? You know, times have changed, and the landscape of college football has changed to where, you know, maybe 30 years ago, kids didn't have as many options to go to school, especially here in the state of Florida. You know, you look at it, Florida International, Florida Atlantic, you know, those guys have programs that are less than 20 years old. UCF in South Florida were really startup programs when I was coming out of high school. So a kid coming out that time really had three schools in the state of Florida to choose from that were probably bigger than FAMU, and that was Florida State, Florida, and Miami. Well, now you have, you know, four more schools, and then you add the fact that South Alabama's added football, Georgia State is added football, Georgia Southern and App State, two teams that used to be FCS, have now gone up to make the transition to FBS. And so it's made it a lot tougher to recruit the same caliber of quality student-athlete that maybe you recruited 20, 30 years ago. And so having to change the culture back to where there's love and admiration for Florida A&M, I think that's where it starts. And then once you get to that point, it's a little bit easier to start to attract a certain caliber student-athlete, or the ones that you get here, make them have pride in the program. And that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to restore pride back in Florida A&M football and let those guys know, I mean, you're part of greatness. And when you walk through the halls every day and look up and see, you know, 13 national championships, you know, countless conference championships, I mean, not every program can boast that, but Florida A&M can. And I think our guys are starting to understand that. And they play with a lot of that passion and pride when they take the field on Saturdays now.
Talking with Coach Willie Simmons, the head coach at Florida A&M. And Coach, you land there at a pretty, you know, amazing time when you reflect on the Rattlers winning the national championship. The Rattlers won the one and only NCAA National Football Championship by an HBCU, and this is the 40-year celebration. Talk about being there at that time and landing there at the time when people are reflecting on that, because a lot of that type athlete were in those areas that you're talking about that now have those Division I schools.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's really been a special time for me to be able to commemorate the 78 team for many reasons. One being the fact that Coach Ruta Hubbard and I have a personal relationship. And I've known Coach Hubbard for years and years, even really before I knew him as Coach Rudy. I knew him as Uncle Rudy because his wife is the aunt of one of my best friends. And so I've been able to spend a lot of time with them. You know, even when I got done playing football, when I was in that transition period of figuring out what I was going to do with my life before I found my niche in coaching, I even sold life insurance for him. And so we've had a great relationship. I've always had a great ton of respect for Coach Hubbard. And to be able to honor he and his team for that 78 championship was truly a great honor for us. And unfortunately, we didn't come away with the victory that game. But just to be able to be around those guys all weekend and to sit down and hear the stories and hear about the ice-cold game they played against Jackson State down in Texas. And, you know, all those things is what football is all about. And to see those guys who 40 years later, you know, again, all successful in life, doing really great things in life, great fathers and husbands and business leaders and church members, that's what we try to, you know, that's what inspired our guys to get to. And so just for them to be around, for them to see that firsthand was a truly humbling experience for me, not only as a coach, but as a fan of football and as an enthusiast of HBCU football. So great, great honor for me. And I hope that our players got as much out of that weekend as I did.
Coach, I want to ask you about the recruiting process and how it's been, especially since you mentioned all the other programs that are in the state of Florida now. You made national news by having 2019's number one recruit come visit the institution. One, you made it happen, and you have all that national attention from it. Has that been beneficial in the recruiting process, and how important is it for student athletes to still visit HBCUs and understand the pride and the power behind that style of football?
Well, one, it was monumental, you know, for the young man to visit campus, and he's a walking billboard, and that's what I really stressed and made sure that our administration understood. Very, very rarely at this level, especially HBCU level, will you have that opportunity to get that type of publicity. And it didn't cost us a thing. You know, again, it's an unofficial visit, so he came on his own dime. He paid for his own meals, you know, so we didn't have to do anything extra, put him in a hotel or anything like that. So it was a free trip for us. And, again, it's free publicity because, I mean, he has over 10,000-15,000 followers on Twitter and Instagram. And so for him to be on campus, to walk around, to start in our over the rec center, or to start over at the Black Archives, is actually where we first started him. And for him to be in there, and him to post those things and talk about how great his experience was and how every athlete needs to consider an HBCU as part of the visiting process, I mean, all of those things really had a profound impact on not only our program, but I think HBCUs across the country. And it's been an amazing journey ever since then. It's like the moment he left campus, we started getting contacted by other top caliber prospects, maybe not top 100 players, but, you know, they're three-star guys in the state of Florida, you know, whose parents went to FAMU, who have offers from Power Five programs, who say, hey, coach, I want to take a visit now. You know, hey, coach, when is homecoming? Because I want to come to a game. And they're local guys who, again, may have thought about FAMU as an afterthought, and all he's done is he's raised the question, what if, you know, what if some of the top student athletes in the country started considering HBCUs now? What would that look like for the landscape of college football if some of those guys would start considering HBCUs coming out of high school? So I think it's a great conversation to have. I think the administrations really need to understand the importance and magnitude of it. The fan base, the alumni need to understand the importance of it, because for that to happen, for them to really start to consider us, we have to do a better job of making sure that our facilities are up to par, that, you know, like in the MEAC, all of our schools post our games on ESPN3 to make sure that the quality of the video is up to par. And then we attend games. I think one of the biggest recruiting tools for any school is for a student athlete to come and see a packed house. You know, we had a lot of top prospects on campus for our homecoming game. And we asked them after the game, have you ever seen anything like this? And the resounding answer was no. We haven't seen anything at the Troy or Georgia Southern or any of those other places like what we just witnessed at homecoming. And I think those are the type of things that can really help a FAMU, you know, a Southern University, you know, the schools who have that type of following and fan base. But if we can just continue to grow our programs the way that maybe some of the other PWIs have over the last 20 years, I really think these places have a chance to take off and grow. I mean, we played Troy this year, and 15, 20 years ago when FAMU and Troy were rivals, they had about the same level of facilities. You know, so if you left FAMU and you went to Troy, there wasn't really much that you were going to see at Troy that would make you think, okay, this is the place I need to be. But now you go there and they have a multi-million dollar field house at the base of their stadium. They have a brand-new weight room. I mean, it's a lot of different things now that has really propelled their program to the next level. And if we can just do some of those small things, I really think that it would allow our program to take the next step and really be able to compete nationally for some of the top recruits in America.
Well, we are enjoying this conversation and great stuff from from Coach Willie Simmons from Florida A&M. Coach, we got to take a break. We have another segment. Can you hang on with us for the playbook, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Stay with us. Coming up next, more from Coach Willie Simmons in the playbook. I'm Sam with LaRisha, and you're listening to HBCU Play.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
That's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. We are continuing our conversation with the head coach of the Rattlers at Florida A&M, Mr. Willie Simmons. During this segment, we like to break down the X's and O's, so we want to dive into some more football-related stuff, Coach. So far this season, your first year again, how has it been for you, specifically looking at the game and all the games that you guys have been able to play so far?
Well, you know, again, after seven games, it really gives you a chance, especially on the bye week, to do a really good job of what we call a self-scout. And so normally during the week, we're preparing for an opponent, so we're looking at more so their tendencies, what they like to do, and trying to put together a game plan that would maximize us against some of their weaknesses. But during the bye week, and after typically four games, you start to look at yourself and see, are we giving away certain tendencies and certain things that we do on offense and defense and special teams? So after seven games, you know, I've really studied us this week and kind of tried to see what we do well and what we need to improve upon. And offensively, you know, we've shown that we can really do a good job. We can throw the football. You know, we have some really dynamic receivers. Chad Hunter right now has really hit his stride and is one of the leading receivers in the conference. Xavier Smith is really coming into his own as a redshirt freshman. Marcus Williams is in their ray. You know, we have some receivers, and I think those guys are close to, you know, reliving some of those rack boy days that they had back in the late 90s and early 2000s. And so we've shown that we can throw the football. Of course, Ryan Stanley is one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the conference, and we've done a good job there. We've struggled at times running the football. That's something that I would definitely want to see us improve upon at the end of the season, because I really think that it takes a lot of pressure off not only our quarterback and passing attack, but the defense as well. Whenever you can pound the football and keep possession of it, it really keeps the defense off the field and lets that clock run a little bit. So I want to see us run the football a little bit better in the second half. Defensively, there's not many things I can say bad about that unit. I mean, those guys are playing really lights out right now. You know, they've held conference opponents to – really, for all intents and purposes, about 10 points a game. You know, we shut Norfolk State out during homecoming, which Norfolk had just come off a 54-point game. Gave up last week to A&T, 21 last week to A&T, but you look at it, seven of it came off of a kickoff return. The first kickoff was run back for a touchdown, so defense wasn't on the field. The second touchdown came off of basically a block punt that they returned to the one-yard line, and, you know, they threw a fade right on first down for a touchdown. So they really only had one drive where they drove the length of the field and scored. And so basically held them to 7 points. North Carolina Central gave up a touchdown on the first drive and didn't give up another touchdown until the game was way out of hand. We put the other twos in. And then against Savannah, I think gave up 13. So those guys are playing extremely well right now, really doing a great job of stopping the run, getting to the quarterback. I think we're leading the conference in sacks and tackles for loss. And getting them off the field on third down. So I think they're about 30%, which is really, really good. And then the special teams, we've had great games. I mean, where we've blocked kicks, where we've made field goals and covered great on kickoff coverage. And then we've had a couple of games where we've had some mishaps. We were fortunate to come out of last week's game with a win because we told the team time and time again that the two games that we've lost, we played extremely poor in special teams. The four games we won up until A&T, we played really, really well on special teams. Saturday was the first time that we played pretty poorly on special teams and was still able to come out with the win. So definitely got to clean up some things in that area. On the punt team, we've had 3 punts blocked this year, which is more than I've had in my entire career. And we've had a kickoff run back for a touchdown. So got to clean up some things in that area. But all in all, to be sitting here at 5-2, 4-0 in conference play, I couldn't be more pleased with the effort and the intensity that these guys play with just got to clean up some fundamental and detailed things as we get back into conference play next week against Morgan State.
So it seems that you pretty much have an understanding of the identity of your team.
Well, I like to think so. You know, again, we pride ourselves on being a tough, hard-nosed, blue-collar football team. And one of the things, one of the first things we talked about when we got here, and one of the things that we hear over and over and over again is how to overcome adversity. And for us as a football team, that's kind of been the thing that we stand on. And people ask, how did we overcome last week? How are we able to endure a Category 4 hurricane, be here on practice, change our practice schedule, get on the bus and drive to Greensboro, be without lights in the locker room, and still be able to come from behind and win the game? Well, it's because we've talked constantly about not letting situations dictate our output. You know, whether it's football, class, or life, you know, whatever comes our way, we can't control that. All we can control is how we respond to those different stimuli. And for us as a football team, we want to make sure that we always respond in a positive way. And I think those guys are starting to really understand that and buy into that. And that's why they didn't get rattled when Hurricane Michael came through. That's why they didn't get rattled, you know, when they ran the opening kickoff for a touchdown or we went down 21-6 at halftime, because they're starting to understand what it takes to persevere in the face of adversity. And I think that's the identity of this team. And then hopefully when people see us play, that's what they see as well.
Spending time with Coach Willie Simmons from Florida A&M University on HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw and LaRisha Harrison. Coach, you guys go up and you do it up in North Carolina A&T. You get the big win over a team that opened the season with wins over Jacksonville State and East Carolina. But it's what happens when you come back and you get off the plane. I saw some of your players went over to Quincy, your hometown. Talk about the importance of that and the kind of lesson off the field that you went through with your players when you got back.
You know, one of the things we as a staff talk about is taking a holistic approach to this game. You know, especially here in the South, people can relate. You know, football is a second religion, and winning games is really, really what people want to do. And it was I guess funny now. I laugh about it now. After I lost to Jackson State, you know, third game of the year, we had four guys go get baptized the next day, and I posted those pictures and you know put them on social media. And one of our fans commented and said, "Coach, we pay you to win games. Like, we don't care about guys getting baptized. We pay you to win football games." Right. And that's the approach that a lot of people take, and that's okay. You know, we embrace that part, too, because we do want to win. But we understand that this game, I played the game my entire life. Football gives you so much. It gives these guys so many opportunities that otherwise they wouldn't be provided with, so many chances to travel and see things and be exposed to things and give back. And that's what we really want to make sure our guys understand. So, yes, we had a huge win, probably the biggest win this program has had in close to a decade. But what's more important is what we just endured a week ago, what people are still going through now, which is the devastation that was caused by Hurricane Michael. And there's so, only so much we can do as a football team to help that. But that little bit that we can do, we want to do. And so my first thought was just get these guys out. You know, we have a bye week. You know, normally we practice on Sundays. So gave them the Sunday off. So let's take some time to go into the community. You know, Quincy, Gadsden County is just next door. And let's help some of the people who are without power right now, you know, who are without clean running water. The stores are barren right now. You can't really go to a Walmart or a Target to get, you know, groceries and supplies because everything is so scarce. So let's take waters over to the community. Let's go take them some hot meals because a lot of these people are without power, so they can't eat hot meals. And let's do our part to show this community that we want to support us, that we'll support them in their time of need. And I think that's really important for us as a football program and an athletic department. Yeah, we did some community service on Sunday, took some food out. We did some again on Monday. And then we took the entire team out on Wednesday into Tallahassee and parts of Gadsden County to help out. So definitely want to try to do our part to show this great community how much we appreciate them and that we'll be willing to support them as well. I think it's really, really important. Our platform is always something that I take very, very seriously as a head coach and a football player. The visibility that we have, the exposure that we have, the type of influence that we have. You know, and if people see a football team after coming off the road and a big win, get out there and help out, well, maybe it'll encourage a local business to get involved, or maybe it'll encourage a church to get involved. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, fortunate to be able to do that, and hopefully we can continue as many people in this area need very, very special attention during this tough time.
Coach, let's talk about your team now. You're doing those things. You got a bye week. Maybe get some people rested and healed up, and then you dive back into the conference schedule. You got four games to go. In an ideal scenario, obviously you win them all, but talk about what you want to see from your team in these final four games, including that that Florida Classic that you want to see them do to give yourself the opportunity to come here to Atlanta.
Be mindful now.
For Celebration Bowl. We want to see the Rattlers in the A-Town. Are we going to see the Rattlers come to Atlanta?
But before they come to Atlanta, be mindful. November 17th. You are talking to a Bethune-Cookman University graduate here.
Hey, Coach ain't worried about you.
We're not on the radio now. We're not supposed to be biased on the radio.
Yeah, I'm just messing.
But no, we, you know, and you hate to sound like a coach and give cliched one game at a time speeches, but really, that's what we have to be able to do. You know, there's so much football left to be played. You know, I told the team the other day, you know, yes, we're 4-0. But the commissioner, Thomas, didn't call me. He called me on Monday to congratulate me on the win. He didn't call me on Monday to hand me the conference championship trophy. And so we're 4-0, not 7-0. And so there's a lot of football left to be played. There are a lot of things that we need to do as a football team to continue to improve and get better. And so for us, that needs to be our focus. You know, right now, our focus really, as crazy as it sounds, is not even on Morgan State. Our focus right now is on Florida A&M. This is our bye week. This is our week to focus on us and get better as a football team. So let's do that. You know, let's win today. And like I said, we try to focus on what's important now. You know, what's in our face right now that we need to attack. So right now, that's, you know, getting healthy, as you alluded to. That's getting caught up in the classroom academically because, as you know, people know during football season, you guys miss class on Friday for travel purposes. That's, you know, getting out in the community and helping out, as we alluded to. And then that's cleaning up some fundamental things that we hadn't done particularly well over the last 7 weeks. So this is what we're focusing on right now. We're going to use this time wisely in that regard. And then come around Sunday when we get back, we'll really start to shift our emphasis towards Morgan State because they're the next team up. It's a conference game. And as well as we did last week and won the game last week, it'll be all for naught if we drop the ball against Morgan State. And they have shown this year that they can beat the number one team in the conference. They went on the road and beat A&T earlier this year. And so, you know, it's definitely not a pushover. I have a ton of respect for Ernest Jones and the job he's done as a coach throughout his career. And I know he'll have those guys fired up ready to play. And the thing is, now we're the hunted. You know, beginning of the season, we were kind of the team that people were looking from the side, said, well, let's see what FAMU does. They haven't done well in the year, so it'll take Coach some time to get them going. But now everyone has their eyes solely set on FAMU. You know, are the Rattlers really for real? And I think people know that we are now, so we're not going to slip up on anybody. And so our guys definitely have to have laser-sharp focus over the next couple of weeks to make sure that we don't have any emotional or mental letdowns, that we can continue to keep this thing rolling, and that we can hopefully achieve our goal of winning the conference and representing the MEAC in the Celebration Bowl.
Well, that's what we'll certainly be waiting to see if that can happen. But, Coach Willie Simmons, we appreciate you spending some time with us this week. Rest up and, like I said, focus on yourselves and get ready to dive back into conference play next week against Morgan State. Once again, congratulations to you and the Rattlers on the big win over North Carolina A&T, and thanks for spending some time with us on HBCU Play.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and I look forward to getting on with you guys again soon.
Sounds good.
All right, that is Coach Willie Simmons from Florida A&M. Back with the kickoff, I'm Sam Larisha here on HBCU Play.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Grimshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And it's time for the kickoff where we get you ready for all of the HBCU games that you can look forward to this weekend. Getting things started with a place where we know Amir Hall just does not like to play. Bowie State is at Virginia Union, and that's going to be on Aspire at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Crucial game in the CIAA. A lot on the line in this ball game, and it should be a great one. Then at 1:30 down in Orangeburg is homecoming as Delaware State visits South Carolina State. Going to take on those Bulldogs, and that game can be seen on ESPN3.
Then we'll see Miles, the school that you so like to claim sometimes, Mr. Crenshaw.
Have to. My parents met there. No Miles, no me.
Well, Miles, they'll be at Lane. You can see that one on Flow Football at 2 o'clock.
Also at 2 o'clock, homecoming in Norfolk for the Norfolk State Spartans. Behold the Green and Gold. They're taking on North Carolina Central, and that game can be seen on ESPN3. They always have a great home coming up there.
Last week, it was Morehouse going up against Albany State, and they actually took down the only undefeated school. Morehouse no longer undefeated because Albany State won that game. But this week is Clark Atlanta University. They're actually taking a road trip going down to Albany State. That game is Saturday at 2 o'clock, and they're celebrating their homecoming.
Well, they are celebrating homecoming, but also concerns already in Albany this week because of what happened with some of the destruction and power outages there, the result of Hurricane Michael. So Albany State University President Marion Frederick made a statement calling it a scaled-back homecoming this time and wish for everyone to stress restoration over celebration. Some of the activities have been curtailed, but they still do plan to have the game along with a day of service on Saturday and a block party. So the theme is still going to be a celebration, but trying to get that area restored during homecoming week there at Albany State.
And again, you can catch that game 2 o'clock on Flow Football. Another game that we're looking forward to watching, Grambling at Alcorn State. That's happening at 3 o'clock Central Time. It's a Purple Out game on ESPN3.
Purple Out. You know, my fraternity. I love that Purple Out.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. North Carolina A&T is going to try to get back in the win column. And look at where they're going.
Bethune-Cookman University.
4 o'clock start time on ESPN3. That should be a great ball game.
Then we'll see Tennessee Tech at Tennessee State. Catch that game 5:30 on ESPN+. It is homecoming for Tennessee State, and they will be playing that game in the Nissan Stadium, the Titans Stadium.
Yeah, because homecoming is big in Nashville, up in Music City at Tennessee State University. Also a game, Morgan State is going to be home against Howard. That's a 7 o'clock start. You can watch that on ESPN3, or if you're in the Baltimore, Washington area, you can watch it on Sports Fever Network. Another note of import, talking about Tennessee State, going back to them, Christian Abercrombie, the young man we talked about last week, who suffered the head injury and was hospitalized in critical condition at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville, has been released from the hospital, Larisha. It's wonderful news. He's taken off the ventilator earlier this week, breathing on his own. He's being transferred to the Shepherd Center here in Atlanta. So that's excellent news, great news for his recovery. Mm-hmm. Lots of thoughts and prayers have gone out in his support and in support of the Abercrombie family, and the family is very appreciative.
I think we should go take a visit to see him.
Absolutely. I think we should go and see him.
So let's plan a field trip.
Field trip. It's not that far away from us, from
no,
our station.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Let me go by and see him and lift his spirits. I'm sure he'll be happy to be back in Atlanta, and people will be able, family members and some of his high school teammates, be able to come and visit him. It should be great for his morale and great for his spirits. And let's see his recovery continue. One more thing to add quickly. College Football Performance Awards had his top performance for the week. Week 7, football, and one of those award winners is Howard University junior wide receiver Jaquez Ezart. He's from College Park, Georgia, and a big performance in their 55-13 win over Delaware State. Remarkable game. He registered 171 receiving yards, 4 catches, and 3 touchdowns. He became the first Bison in school history to produce back-to-back 3 touchdown games. So congratulations to Jaquez Ezart from Howard University. He's one of the top performers for Week 7, the College Football Championship Subdivision.
We want to thank head coach of the Florida A&M Rattlers, Willie Simmons, for joining us for 2 segments today. Great conversation with him. He seems like a really nice guy.
Fantastic conversation, and he's doing great things on the field and off, especially with the support for hurricane relief in his community down in Quincy, Florida.
That's right. And if you missed last week's show, we did have a chance to catch up with Robert Mathis, who is one of the finalists for the Black College Football Hall of Fame. Head over to our website so you can hear that interview and also all of the other interviews we've done so far, all of the other episodes of HBCU Play. Just go over to WAOK.com. Search HBCU Play, and they'll all pop up.
You can follow us on social media. I'm at SamCrenshaw23.
And I'm at Larisha underscore H. That's LERICIA underscore H. And while you're there, don't forget to follow WAOK. On Twitter, it's simply WAOK.
Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the games this week. We'll see you here next week on HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play.